Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hard to believe that we are at the final show of the year. I know. There's probably some tears in the audience from the tens and tens of listeners that we have, as one of my cohorts say. But joining me right back for the last time this school year is Keith Hansey and Matt Tyler. Gentlemen, welcome in. It is the final show of the year. How are we feeling?
Good to be here.
Yeah, it is good to be here.
Good to see Matt back here.
I would agree with that.
I think Matt hesitated.
I mean, with the weather, how it is, we won't want to be outside doing anything else.
No, not at all.
Way better, Alex.
This is way better than being outside.
Yeah.
All right. You can stop with the semantics, Keith. Good to have you along here. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up a little later on here today, we are going to sit down with a couple of state qualifiers. Elise Gibo and Ellie Mickey will be joining us at the WIAA Division II state meet. That'll be at UW La Crosse coming up in just a little bit. We're also going to chat with Hunter Bumgard from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin. We're going to chat him. The Brewers are scorching hot. And that doesn't even begin to describe it. And they're still probably the number three seed in the National League at this point, which is surprising.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, would you believe, just as a quick heads up, the Pittsburgh Pirates are currently the second place team in the National League Central. Who'd have thunk it?
The Central, are they still all over 500?
Yes, they are. Last I checked.
Yeah, they went from being probably the worst division to one of the better ones.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yep. And that whole division has flip-flopped.
It has.
Yeah,
it has.
Since
the beginning of the month.
Yeah. And then also, we're also going to take a look at our top 10 broadcast calls of the Hatchet school year. And spoiler alert, both of these two are going to be featured on the list. There you go. Yeah.
Nice.
But first, we are going to hit the football field. And there's a certain schedule that we forgot to highlight last week. We are going to get into the college football schedule. Yes, we'll go over to the Wisconsin Badger football schedule. We are going to start with that.
Dupree 25, breaks the tackle 30, 35, 40. Derrion Dupree to the 50, in the clear 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Wisconsin! Derrion Dupree, 84 yards!
I cannot wait to hear Matt LePay's voice on Saturday.
He's my favorite.
He is one of the best, truly one of the best. I actually checked out his book from the library. I'm starting to read it, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Look at you all reading and
stuff. Yeah, I know. It's surprising. Me reading? What a concept. Well, what's also a concept is the Badgers football schedule. And needless to say, gentlemen, looking at this schedule, it is completely different from where it was last year. Last year, I think Wisconsin had the toughest schedule in the entire country, and it showed. They were probably a better team last year, but the record didn't show. So this is what their schedule's like. They open up at Lambeau Field against Notre Dame. By the way, I might be making a trip over to Lambeau to cover that game.
Nice. We?
Yeah.
We?
We. Then after that, the rest of their non-conference games are Western Illinois and Eastern Michigan. Their Big Ten schedule begins at Penn State, which I think is probably the toughest conference opponent on Wisconsin's schedule outside of Iowa, which they will also go to this year. Then they have Michigan State at home, at UCLA, USC at home. Iowa's on Halloween night, which is going to be fascinating. Rutgers at home, at Maryland, at Purdue, and then they end the season right after Thanksgiving against Minnesota at Cam Brown. That's already going to be scheduled as a night game. It's already a 6:30 kickoff. So, Mr. Matt Tyler, what stands out to you the most about this schedule?
You said it, Alex. It is completely different than last year's schedule. It's not loaded with juggernauts like it was last year.
Not playing Alabama.
No. Alabama, Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, they had the whole works. It's all going to depend if we can keep a quarterback healthy.
Yes.
You know, it's just been the worst luck. I think they have more than one quarterback that can probably go, but Colton Joseph is the guy.
Yes.
He's got to be, and he's a dual-threat quarterback. Ran for 1,000 yards, I think, last year at Old Dominion. So it's all going to depend. But I'll tell you what. They got – one of the things that they were very they lacked was corners. And if you look at their cornerback room now, the guys they got in, they got a guy from Ohio State. Yep. They got a guy from – they got a couple from the SEC.
Yeah.
Mississippi, I think, or Arkansas. But all of them are 6 foot, 6'1", 195. Mm-hmm. So that cornerback room is going to look a lot different. college football is so hard now with the way it's set up that every year it's a completely different team.
It is. It is.
It truly is. You look at it's the same as college basketball. And look at Michigan built that team in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Football can do the exact same thing.
Yep.
Now, Wisconsin's got to be able to compete with that. And we've gotten some transfers, really good transfers. Yep. But
I believe their transfer class, by the way, is in the top 20 in the nation.
There are some players in there from some big schools.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they got some commits. One just committed, I think, from California.
I believe so, yes.
I can't think of his name, but
he's done very well, actually, recruiting this year.
Yes. So I'm curious to see if the Badgers are going to have an offensive identity this year.
Second year under Grimes, maybe.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Hopefully they have an identity. You know, are they going back to the run, or are they going to do this, you know, passing offense again? You know, that's the unknown.
That is the big thing. Now, you mentioned the guy that they just flipped. It's a four-star cornerback. I believe his name is Makai.
Yep.
Makai Williams. Williams. And he's actually from Florida State. That's where he's transferring from. So that goes to show you. And going back to Colton Joseph, because Matt Tyler brought him up, I got Joseph's stats in front of me. He was with Old Dominion, who, by the way, is in the Sun Belt Conference and has been for the last couple of years. Last year, these were his stats. 2,624 yards passing, 21 touchdowns, 10 picks. Pretty good stats overall. His completion percentage was below 60%, so I would like to see that go up a little bit. But as you mentioned, Matt, he ran for 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, he's not super accurate. Like you said, he's got to bring that up.
Yeah.
But you get the legs with him.
Yep. Yes, you do. You get the legs and the passing from him, because as good as Carter Smith was on the ground, he could not throw a ball past 15 yards down the field, unfortunately.
He was a true freshman.
He was. Yeah.
That's a tough get coming out of high school.
Same thing with Braden Locke. Same thing happened with Braden Locke when I think it was it was Mordecai that went down with the injury as well. And then afterwards, you had Van Dyke go down. It was a cacophony, if you will, of injuries on the Wisconsin side. Looking at the schedule, guys, there is absolutely no excuse for Luke Fickell now this year.
No,
absolutely none.
Do or die.
This is a do or die year. Yep. If they need to at least make a bowl game this upcoming season. If they do not do that, Fickell is out. Let's be real about this.
And this schedule is set up for them to make a bowl game.
Yes, they are.
Chris McIntosh isn't there to protect them anymore.
Right. No, he's not. I believe that their interim AD currently, Marcus Sedbury, made it known that, hey, we're going to stick with Fickell for this 1 year, but with the guy that they're going to be bringing in, who knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, looking at the schedule, I see at least 7 wins on the schedule. Let me tell you my wins. Western Illinois and Eastern Michigan, obviously. Michigan State is always a toss-up. I don't think Penn State will be as good this year, but I do think that they're always going to be a tough get no matter what.
Tough place to play.
Tough place to play.
If nothing else.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. At UCLA, that could be winnable. USC at home at Iowa is always tough no matter who you play. Rutgers is a winnable game. Maryland is a winnable game. Purdue is a winnable game. And then, of course, anything can happen with the Axe.
Yep.
So if Wisconsin does not make it to a bowl game this year, you have to go in a different direction. Yeah. This is the last chance.
I couldn't help but notice you left Notre Dame off that list.
So let me tell you my thing with Notre Dame, okay?
Okay.
I remember, I think it was 10 years ago, when Wisconsin played LSU at Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. LSU was ranked number 5 in the country, and the Badgers beat them.
Yes.
Now, the best way to make sure that your job is safe is if you upend Notre Dame on opening night.
At Lambeau.
And by the way, that LSU team, had Leonard Fournette. They had Jamal Adams. They had Gavin Godcho. Who else did they have? They had another NFL player. I forget his name. But they had probably one of the best defenses in the country, and Wisconsin beat them 16-14.
If you're going to play Notre Dame, I'd rather play them the first game of the year than middle of the season.
Exactly. 100%.
And then you add the excitement of Lambeau being up there.
Yeah.
Like the Badgers, last time they played there, played really well.
Yeah, and the other thing to point out, this is the second of a two-game series for Wisconsin, just so everyone knows, because the two teams went against each other at Soldier Field 5 years ago. So they wanted to, like, reignite this rivalry, and I think it's going to be different this year. The Notre Dame game is going to be very, very intriguing to see where this team is to start the season. Now, there's a couple of things this could go. Let's say, for the sake of argument, Wisconsin gets blown out. That's probably the expectations, at least among the national media poll for at this time. But if they play them tight or pull it off, then you could say, whoa, all right, this team could beat, this team could make some noise. But again, it's going to come down to how well they play against this particular competition. And as we talked about, this is miles different from last year. You're not constantly playing a top five team in the country every single week, it felt like, during the season.
And I think Keith brought up a good point is the offensive identity. Mm-hmm. What are they? You know, you're 2 years removed from Phil Longo now. Jeff Grimes is more of a traditional offense.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's working now with some guys that he's had there for a couple of years, not many, but a few, and a healthy quarterback. Mm-hmm. So that's the big part
of it. That is going to be key.
Yes, it is. Wisconsin opens up their season against Notre Dame at Lambeau Field on September 6th. That will get underway at 6:30. Matt, you want to add something?
I got a story. You guys were talking about Halloween. I know it's at Iowa, but many people know I used to work at Lincoln Hill School, and Halloween in Madison is crazy, right?
Yes.
It is. We had this pepper spray cannon that was called a protecto jet. It was a big tube you put under your arm. You open up the valve, and it empties the room.
Oh, I've seen those. Yes.
Yeah. We used to borrow that to the Dane County police for Halloween. Yeah. Yeah, and it clears a room.
I believe it. I believe it.
So just for Halloween, they would take that from us and use it.
I got a different story. So right before I left Iowa, my parents actually went to the Badger-Iowa game a few years ago at Kinnick Stadium, and they absolutely loved it. They absolutely loved it because Kinnick, like Lambeau, there's a lot of history that goes into that stadium. So whenever those two teams play, it's a defensive battle no matter what it's going to be, unless you're Wisconsin last year.
If you're a history buff, look up who that stadium was named after.
Yeah.
Niles Kinnick. Is a very interesting character.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter Baumgart's going to join us to talk some Brewers. That's coming up after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. High school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Head on over to Vigod Stewart Express for the latest in fishing gear, tackle, and live bait, and enjoy a great summer of fishing. You'll find rods and reels, fishing tackle from perch to muskie, tackle boxes, waders, items for your boat, and so much more. Vigod Stewart Express has gas for your vehicle and boat. They even have hot coffee, cold pop, and beer. Plus, they're open early every morning. Vigod's Do It Express, right along North 4th Street in Tomahawk.
Bringing comfort to your home is Hilgi's of Tomahawk's top priority, and Carrier's products help you achieve the comfortable, efficient, and controlled home of your dreams. A Carrier home. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating and cooling systems rated by Energy Star. Millions of people trust Carrier's leadership and expertise in delivering premium solutions for their home heating and cooling needs. You can count on Carrier and Hilgi's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilgi's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue. Call 453-3505. Online at Hilgi's.com.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. good to have you along here on this absolutely wonderful Wednesday evening here in the Northwoods. We're going to go ahead and call a little bit of an audible and rewind, if you will. Let me see if I can find that. Geez, now only if I had something something there. Here we go. And we are going to join us with our Hatchet State qualifying athletes along with Coach Kirk Cordova. Joining us is Elise Gibo and Ellie Mickey. Ladies, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my goodness, you two are in synchronicity already. Let's just hope that can continue, all right? All right, so first off, we want to say congratulations, ladies, on making it to state for track and field. Elise, I'll start with you. You and I have talked persistently throughout your high school career of how you have been able to get to different state meet after state meet. You're finally back after struggling with injuries over the last couple of years. What has been important in your rehab that has led you to this point?
For this year, it was definitely the weight room. I took the winter off. I didn't wrestle this year, and I just really focused on strengthening myself and running early and swimming in the beginning before I started running, and that definitely helped me.
Ellie, this is the first time you've made the statement. Obviously, you made it in the high jump, one of the last qualifiers. What was the anticipation like of waiting for your name to be called?
I think it was just like I wasn't trying to get too excited, but I knew I had like a height that could qualify me, and I was just preparing, and I was excited for anything that could happen.
Well, you know what, Elise, you have constantly set school records throughout the course of the season, 200 and 400 meter dashes. You did it again at sectionals out in Rice Lake. What have you worked on to constantly break those marks throughout the course of the season?
Definitely been listening to my body at practices and focusing on what workouts I want to do, what point in the week, and just staying healthy, I guess.
And that's really the big thing. Yeah. Coach Kirk Cordova, is there anything that you would like to jump in with?
I think both of them, their work ethic lately, especially on working on technique with Lise, with her running form. The 400's a long race that you got to think the whole time you're out there and listen to your body. She's done very well. She gets done running, and she comes up and tells me, you know, how it felt the entire way through the 400, what we could change. It's a good discussion, and then she works on that the rest of the week. With Ellie, it's just getting her to practice, having that confidence that we know she could jump high, and just having the consistency to have that form over the jump completely.
Ellie, let's go ahead and talk about your event, the high jump here. Obviously, it's a very, very tricky event, as most events are in track and field. What constitutes prepping for a successful high jump in your estimation?
I think just finding the time to practice and just knowing like all the hard work I've put in. Like, I know how to do it, and I know how high I can jump. Just being aware and just thinking about the little things and just not thinking too much when I jump.
It's important. We're talking here with a couple of state qualifiers here with us, Elise Gibo and Ellie Mickey, here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach Cordova, we've had 1 to 2 potential state qualifying athletes throughout the course of the season. What's it like to have a sophomore athlete like Ellie make it and represent Tomahawk?
You know, we had high hopes of her last year. She came out of middle school jumping 5.2 already. That's right on the border of qualifying in high school. She broke the middle school record and the middle school GNC record in eighth grade. Her freshman year, she came in, struggled a little bit with being a dual sport athlete. I mean, that's a tough scenario to try maneuver around. But she jumped 5 feet her freshman year. Her goal was always get over 5.2. And I think her coming in and focusing on what she's doing has really led into this year. We've seen glimmers of it all year, so we knew she had it in her. To see her be able to go to the sectional meet and set a new personal record of 5.3 was awesome. I mean, that was the best we've ever seen her jump all year. The smile on her face when she got done jumping it's just a very proud moment as a coach that you could see an athlete progress all the way through.
So just for perspective, Ellie, I've seen you also on the softball diamond as well this past year. You're doing dual sports, obviously. What's it like to have two sports going on at the same time in the course of 1 year?
Honestly, it's so fun. I love all the girls, and everyone's so like supportive. I know like a lot of my softball friends watch my track meets, and track watches softball, and I think a support system is the most important. It just makes it fun. And just finding the time to balance everything.
Well, there you go. So let's go ahead and ask another question here for you ladies. Elise and Ellie, I want each of you to give me goals that you have set for your events coming up on Friday. Elise, I'll start with you.
Looking at my times in the 400, my goal for that is definitely to make podium for sure, make finals, make it to Saturday. 200 is not looking as promising as the 400, but I still want to be positive in that, and I would love to qualify for Saturday and do as best as I can, because I've never had like that much of competition in both these events, so I'm going to have a lot of people to push me, which is good.
Ellie?
My goal is just to have a positive mindset and just enjoy the experience and definitely learn to hopefully return in the coming years.
Coach, what would you like to add? What goals do you have set for these two coming up for this upcoming meet?
I think the biggest thing is we've made it, they made it this far, made it all the way to state. Go in and enjoy the moment. Both of them have a great opportunity to find the podium. Just enjoying that process all the way through and finishing the season out with all the hard work they put in.
Elise, Ellie, would either of you like to add any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
I'm just thankful for our coaches this year and our teammates. We've had great support throughout the season and working around our crazy like schedules. It has been wonderful, and I think that we've been trying some new program and like track plan this year in track, and it worked great, and I think everyone really enjoyed it this year, and it wasn't like any bad vibes. Everyone loved it, so it was so much fun.
Ellie?
Yeah, I would definitely like to thank the coaches. They put a lot of time and effort into us, especially me. They take time out of practice and around my schedule to help me to succeed.
Kurt, would you like to add anything?
I just look forward to seeing these two compete, and we'll see how they do.
Of course, the WIAA Division II State Track and Field Meet is at the University of Wisconsin Lacrosse on Friday. Elise Gibo in the 200 and 400-meter dashes. Ellie Mickey in the high jump. Both events will begin at approximately 3:30 Friday afternoon. Kurt Cordova, Elise Gibo, Ellie Mickey. Ladies, congratulations once again on making state. Good luck on Friday, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we'll have an update on the sectional golf scores taking place out in Spooner in just a little bit. That's coming up after this here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Does your investment strategy reflect what you want or just what the market's doing? This is Sarah Olson with Wealth Strategy Group. Our pro strategy builds portfolios around your personal risk profile, income needs, and future plans. With our pro strategy, your investments are guided by data-driven signals that help manage risk and capture opportunity, so you can stay focused on your goals, not headlines. Invest, plan, prosper with Pro by Wealth Strategy Group. Let's align your investments at WSGinvest.com or by calling us at 453-0722 to discuss how we can help you build your portfolio.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Shurl Tire and Auto Service in Tomahawk is proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets. We're your go-to choice for top-quality automotive service and the best prices on Goodyear tires. We're the home of free tire repair. Bring in your auto or light truck flat tire, and we'll fix it at no charge. You can count on Shurl Tire and Auto Service to keep you rolling on and off the field. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community moving forward and on the road to victory. Visit us at SherrillTire.com.
Get your car done right.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook and Keith Hansey here with you. Matt Tyler will be joining us in a hot minute. He had to send out a water bottle to one of the ladies that left it here from the studio. So, gentlemen, it is great to have Tomahawk athletes represent at any sort of state meet. And honestly, with it being Ellie Mickey and Elise Gibo, couldn't have happened to a nicer group of young ladies.
Yeah, they'll represent Tomahawk well down there.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely will.
It's exciting for, you know, as a sports kid, we got to talk to a lot of state qualifiers this year.
Yes, we did.
For sure.
It's exciting.
We did.
And, I think those girls are going to do great down there.
Tomahawk has a really strong history in making the state tournament and doing very well in the state tournament in track and field. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just carrying on the tradition.
Yep, very curious. Meanwhile, speaking of which, the WIAA Division II sectional golf meet was today. We do have the final results from Coach Sean Toch. So the Tomahawk team, they're not going to be sending anyone to state this year. Hatchets finished ninth overall. They were 13 strokes behind St. Croix Central. The two state qualifiers as a team in their sectional were Bloomer and Rice Lake.
Okay.
Those were the two. And the top hatchet golfer finishing 28th just outside the individual qualifiers, Jake Albert, with an 82. So the golf season is officially wrapped up. We'll have a full recap for you coming up during our local sports report tomorrow here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, which means Elise and Ellie are officially the last Hatchet athletes to compete in the school year. Coming up in a little bit, we are going to take a look at some of the top broadcast calls of the 2025-26 season. Now, both of these guys were in the booth with me for a little bit this upcoming, for quite a bit, actually, this upcoming year. Keith was with me with hockey and baseball. Matt, you were with me in pretty much every female sport, volleyball, girls basketball, softball as well. Keith, I'm going to start with you on this.
Yeah.
What was your favorite moment of broadcasting Hatchet Sports this year?
This year?
Yes, this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would have to go back to probably that win over Eau Claire North.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
That was an exciting game. Great venue.
Yes.
You know, going on the road.
Yeah.
First playoff game in Division One. And you know, upset a team that I think they kinda overlooked the Hatchets.
Yeah,
really?
Honestly, and I think the WIAA honestly overlooked them, because mm-hmm. when you put a 25-3 team as the 9 seed in the Division II state champion,
yeah.
that's probably what you're going to get.
Yeah,
Matt Tyler, what was your favorite moment from this past school year?
You know, actually, I'm going to go away from the girls' sports, and I enjoyed the couple of football games that I got to do
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
Those were, I've only done football one other time, so that was fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially the win over Spencer Columbus Catholic.
That was great.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was great. It was Halloween. You could, I swear.
People in the booth. The
yeah.
press box was packed.
Oh, yeah. They had four different radio stations yeah. from across central Wisconsin in that booth. Don't worry. We still had our WJJQ sweet spot, Keith.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, we'll be taking a look at some of the top broadcast calls here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Temperature, a nice crisp 80 degrees here under sunny skies for today. Tony Schumacher will have your weather forecast coming up after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Saving money in outdoor storage now at Menards. It's the perfect time to get organized and expand your backyard storage space. Aero Storage products have you covered with durable, weather-resistant steel sheds that offer long-lasting protection, and they look good for years to come. They're pre-cut and pre-drilled for faster assembly to save you time. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, a few scattered clouds, low at 54. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with about a 70% chance of some scattered showers or a thunderstorm, high near 77, wind south to southwest 10 to 15. Scattered showers and storms continue Thursday night into Friday, Friday's high 77. And Saturday, peaks of sun, maybe a stray shower, high 78. Sunday looks like a great day with lots of sunshine, high 81. Monday, a warm, sticky day, partly sunny with a small chance of a thunderstorm, high in the middle 80s. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Thanks for joining us here on this absolutely wonderful Wednesday evening. Well, another school year is complete here in Tomahawk, and it was another great season of Hatchet Broadcast Calls with another year in the books. I think it's time to once again take a look back at the top 10 Hatchet Broadcast Calls of the 2025-26 season.
It's now time to take a look at the top 10 broadcast calls of the 2025-26 school year for Tomahawk Sports. Number 10.
Number 10 takes us to the baseball diamond in the final Great Northern Conference game of the regular season. On Senior Day, Jonah Dickin stepped up to the plate at Tyler Carl Memorial Field with the game tied at 4 in the bottom of the 6th and delivered a clutch hit. Dickens, the senior who's playing baseball for the first time in 4 years this year, has a chance to be a hero for the Hatchets in the bottom of the 6th. First pitch to Dickens. He swings. It's a hot shot. Base hit left center field. Black is rounding third. He is going to score. Rounding second. Headed for third is Sessler. He's going to try and go home. And he will. Jonah Dickens with a two-run single to put the Hatchets on top 6-4.
Huge hit.
Wow.
Beautiful hit by Jonah. Two RBIs. That was huge for the Hatchets right there.
Boy, in a season of big hits for Tomahawk, that one tops them all.
Two-out magic.
Number 9.
Number 9 takes us to the hockey rink. One of the many times we'll be at the hockey rink on this list. Tomahawk was looking for their third consecutive Great Northern Conference title, and the Hayden Mosinee Indians came to Sarah Park. Rex is going to circle all the way back around, and is going to send it over to Mason Jakes, the sophomore defenseman, getting a little bit more playing time, again with the injury to Oliver Childers. Stromberg up ahead. Here comes Cole Peterson. Goes by one. He's in on the Husky. Fires. He scores! Cole Peterson, top right corner, gets the hatchets on the board to start tonight. Intercepted, but knocked away. Braden Lamer gaining possession. Now about 47 seconds to go on the power play. Here comes Riley in on Mahalski. Knocked down. That's a penalty. That's going to be an Isaac Lewis, the defenseman, shot. And a score! Mason Jakes finds the back of the net. Of all people, the backup defenseman gets the goal, and it's 3-1. Tomahawk with 10:22 to go in the second period. Wow! The Tomahawk Hatchets clinched their third consecutive Great Northern Conference title with a 5-1 victory over Mosinee here at Sarah Park tonight.
Number 8.
We'll stay in the hockey rink for number 8, and Jonah Dickens once again takes the spotlight. This time, in a showdown with Northland Pines on the rink, Dickens delivered his most clutch goal in his high school career. And it will be sent right back out to neutral ice. Pines looking to try and go on and run. Brayden Lamer knocked down with a skate. Cut off by Jansen. Now back up to Jake Albert. Under 2 to go. Over to Jonah Dickens. He goes in. He fires. He scores!
Got it.
Jonah Dickens! Tomahawk leads 6-5 with 1:45 to go.
That was a good shot. He was out front. I don't know how he snuck that thing in there.
Wow!
What a great wrist shot from Jonah.
Number 7.
Number 7 takes us to the football field in a Great Northern Conference showdown. Tomahawk hosted Wausau East in a wild and wacky game. It came down to a 40-yard field goal from the Lumberjacks. 40-yard field goal try for Gio Gomez. He made one from 40 to end the first half. If he makes this one, the game is over. Does Coach Riley call a timeout? Everyone getting on their feet. Long snapper is Bree. Rise the holder. Snap. Low. Ball down. Kick to the other.
It's blocked.
Vegas Saracen with the block.
Oh,
Lucas Harris falls on him.
Game over.
Tomahawk wins
game
it.
Over.
11-10.
Can I
play with this madness? Tegan Saracen with the game-saving block. And the hatchets survive. 11-10 victory. Wausau East to go to 3-0.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Number 6.
Back to the hockey rink we go for number 6. It was Tomahawk heading out to the O'Brien Center in Eau Claire for a showdown with the Eau Claire North Huskies, and they secured their first Division I playoff victory in 6 years. Dickens definitely earned that penalty. Face-off will be won by the Hatchets. 22 seconds left in the period. Breck Stromberg is now in for Jonah Dickens. He comes up with it. Dickens wraps it back around to Jeff Riley. Riley back up top. Braden Lamer fires on that.
He scores!
Braden Lamer! Top left corner puts the Hatchets on the board with 11 seconds to go in the first period. All of them to Minnesota schools.
Yes, they play a lot over there.
Yes, they do.
And it's pretty good hockey there.
No kidding. Shot from Lamer, save. Rebound. Score! Landon Seymour from the left side! 2-0 Hatchet. 16:38 to go. Second period. Wow!
Rebounds.
Yeah. No,
rebound shots. It was a very good shot.
Pearson tries to cut it off.
I think they want an ice on that one.
Yeah,
or offsides.
That shot. Oh. Let's go!
Yes!
Bo Stromberg!
Oh!
That was just a little dink right past Ivy. And with 12:26 to go, the Hatchets can smell a trip to Hudson on Thursday.
That was a dribbler. It came back, and he just lifted it slowly over his pads.
That's unbelievable. Bo Stromberg finds the back of the net. 5-1 Tomahawk with 12:26 to go in the third. Wow! Tomahawk is going to go on to the Division I regional final on Thursday night. They have dominated the Eau Claire North Huskies at the O'Brien Rink by the score of 7-1.
Number five
takes us back to the football field and up to Minocqua. Tomahawk was looking for their first Great Northern Conference title, in over 35 years, and they clinched it against the Lakeland T-Birds. Will Backhouse and Nolan Johnson, each with three. 30-17, McQuaid shotgun, takes the snap, looks to throw, steps up, looking, fires to the outside.
It's intercepted!
Picked off by Rex Riley, down the near sideline. Riley to the 30, 25, and wrapped up at the 23-yard line. The senior linebacker and one of the state leaders in tackles, Rex Riley, comes away with the biggest defensive play of the night for the Hatchets. They take over first down at the Lakeland 23.
Talk about football IQ.
You could put a piece of paper right in between football and that goal line. All right, we got Saracen is back in along with Rex Riley. Jet Riley under center. Two receivers out to the right. Take handoff. Saracen walks in.
Right in.
Touchdown, Tomahawk.
The dagger.
A hat trick for Tegan Saracen. And the Hatchets lead 27-13 with 4:54 to go in the ball game. The Tomahawk Hatchets will finish the season with an 8-1 record, a 6-1 Great Northern Conference record, and a share of the Great Northern Conference title. A long and winding road to win number 8.
Number 4.
We stay on the football field for number 4, and we go into the postseason. Tomahawk hosted a second-round playoff game and was looking for their deepest playoff run in 20 years when they took on Spencer Columbus Catholic. 5:12 to go. Again, Spencer does have all three timeouts remaining. Shotgun snap here coming from Timber once again. He takes, he will throw, looking, fires to the sideline. Intercepted by Jonah Dickens! Intercepted by Jonah Dickens at the 31-yard line!
They tried the same thing on the opposite side, and Jonah read it and just stepped in front of him for the interception.
Intended for Matt Konechny, and one of the biggest plays of the season for the Hatchets comes from the senior electric athletes. And again, the winner of this game will play either Stratford or Prairie du Chien next week. Jets going to take, toss to Max Larson. He cuts back inside the 10.
He's gonna
Max
score.
To the 5. Max Larson strutting in untouched. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Max Larson gets in on the action. 33-12, and Tomahawk is pouring it on here in the fourth quarter.
I think they assumed we were just going to run it up the gut and a little sweep to Max. He made a couple guys miss.
I think that caught everybody off guard. Third down and 9. This will be the last play of the game. Timber takes the shotgun snap and hands it off. And in fitting Hatchet fashion, it's a stop in the backfield by Ethan Jebo. And that will wrap it up. For the first time since 2007, the Tomahawk Hatchets will head to level 3 of the WIAA Division 5 football playoffs. Final score, Tomahawk 34, Spencer Columbus Catholic 12.
Number 3.
Number 3 takes us right back to the football field for the last time. The Hatchets welcomed a top 10 opponent to the stadium in Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, and they delivered in overtime. Can the Hatchets pull off the biggest upset in the state of Wisconsin this week? Tegan Saracen and Jason Watkins coming in on this one. Hatchets have scored touchdowns on all three of their red zone drives. Can they make it 4? And for their first win over Whitburn since 1985, Cash under center, I formation, he takes, quarterback sneak!
Touchdown. Come on.
Is he in?
He had to be in.
Wait for the signal. Oh. Touchdown! Game over! Josh Olsen wins it! And Tomahawk has upset Wittenberg Burnhamwood by the score of 28-22! Cash Olsen, hero for the Hatchets tonight!
What a game. What a game.
The Tomahawk Hatchets with a big upset. They have knocked off number 7, Wittenberg Burnhamwood, 28-22 in overtime. Their first overtime win in school history.
Number 2.
Number 2 takes us to the wrestling mat. It was senior Kylie Pisig that squared off in her sectional final match and delivered her first ever state wrestling tournament appearance.
Trying to grab the wrist on the other half.
Now,
she can't run that half Nelson until she breaks her own, like she did right there.
There
she
you
got
go.
It broke down. Got the half in. Running it over.
Come on, running it over. Come on, back. Oh, boy, come on, near fall.
She's got it tight. She's
back
got it
points
tight.
Are coming. This back points really are good. Coming. Kylie Pison is going to Madison.
And what a job by Kylie Pison. Congratulations.
heading to the state tournament as a champion, as a sectional champion, with any of the emotion in her face. She's just so happy. It looks like she's about to cry.
With 8 seconds left in the first period, Kylie Pisig becomes the first Hatchet wrestler to make the state meet. Congratulations to the Hatchet senior, Kylie Pisig.
Number 1.
And finally, at number 1, just the second Hatchet girls basketball player ever with 1,000 career points. It happened when Freya Allberg went to the free throw line in a showdown with Rib Lake. Kamarik picks up her first 15 foul of the half on Rib Lake. Freya Allberg at 999 career points. And there's number 1,000. Becky Hoagland's got company. Freya Allberg with 1,000 career points.
They're going to get a little stoppage of play.
Yeah, they will. It's going to be a stoppage of play to honor Freya Allberg. Freya Allberg, you know, my first year up here, I got the chance to watch her play as a freshman, Matt. And the congratulations to what it has been an honor to watch this young woman play basketball for Tomahawk.
Yeah, it really has. And the whole time that I've done this, either announcing or coaching, this is only the second time I've seen this. So this is really a special moment.
Yes. Freya Allberg, 1,000 career points, just the second player in Hatchet girls basketball history to achieve that mark. She joins Becky Hoagland. Those are your top 10 broadcast calls of the 2025-26 school year for Tomahawk Sports here on the Sports Cube on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ. There you go. There you go, guys. Hard to believe it. Another year in the books of Hatchet Broadcast Sports. There are some really good calls in that one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
yeah.
The way you started out, I'm like, is anybody tired of the Keith Hansen show, for goodness sake?
Come on. Come on, Matt.
Can't be that tired.
Come on.
Come on. You were featured in there a few times,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah,
Matt was featured in there. John Long, Tony Derleth, I made sure to shout him out as well. Matt, you mentioned on the air, I don't mean to put you on the spot here. You said that was only the second time you saw an athlete hit 1,000 points in basketball. Can you remember the other time?
I can. It was in girls basketball just a couple years before that, and it was a northern school. Oh, I can't
Northam
remember.
Pines.
No.
Was no.
It? Oh, I did. I wasn't doing a game, but I don't know if I was there when Smith got 2,000 points.
Yes. Okay.
Which is rare. But no, it was a small school up north.
Was it Butternut?
No, they're green in color, right up near the Michigan border.
Let me see if I'll have to do some research.
But I can't remember. We went up there and played, and a girl got her 1,000 point early in the game.
Nice.
Okay, there you go. I'll have to do some research, see if I can figure that out. I'll have to see if I can figure that out.
I'll look.
I'm sure you will. Matt will
find it.
Matt was on the case, and
we'll use the Google machine.
Use the Google machine. Yes. And by the way, guys, we already have our first fall broadcast on the schedule for next year. Yeah. Not to say that I'm counting down or anything.
Right. Let's have summer.
Yeah, but there's only 79 days left until my next broadcast. I mean, not that I'm counting. So just so everyone knows, so the first football game of the season for Tomahawk, that's when it's going to start right back up. It will be on August 21st. Tomahawk will be welcoming Onalaska Luther to Hatchet Field. That will get underway at 6 o'clock, so an earlier start time as well. So we'll be sure to remind everybody once that gets closer. Again, Matt Tyler is still doing his incredible research here.
Yeah, it's not going good.
It's not going good? Are you sure it was a Wisconsin school?
It was a Wisconsin school.
Okay.
But we did have Michigan officials.
Oh.
If I remember right.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I'll tell you what. You go ahead and continue to do the research. We got an interview with Hunter Baumgart that we got to get to for Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We are going to chat Brewers, the red hot Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes. Florence.
Florence. That's Florence. Who it was. Yes. Yep. Florence. There you go. You're tuned into the Sports Cue here on WJJQ. Interview with Hunter Baumgart is next.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Cue with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Subway of Tomahawk is a proud sponsor of the Tomahawk Hatchets. Fuel up before or after the game with fresh subs, crisp salads, and of course, one of our famous cookies for your sweet tooth. Planning a team get-together or family celebration? Let Subway make it easy with catering. Just give us a call or use the Subway mobile app for easy ordering, and we'll handle the rest. We're proud to support the Tomahawk Hatchets and help to keep our community and local athletes fueled and ready for victory.
Are you curious what's the value of your home? Have you been thinking now is a good time to upgrade or downsize? Hi, this is Tim Nelson, Associate Broker at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. It's my desire to treat people like family, to care, and provide a phenomenal real estate experience. I will work very hard to ensure you are successful and have peace of mind in your buying and selling experience. Buying and selling real estate can be very stressful, difficult, and intense, but I'm determined to help folks thrive, be confident, and get great results. It would be an honor to care and serve you, your loved ones, and friends. Thank you, and have an awesome day.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's now time for our state interview. And joining us right back on the line is one of our resident Brewers experts, Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin. Hunter, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely, Alex. Anytime, and excited to talk about a team that is absolutely red hot coming into tonight.
Exactly. You know, we were talking off the air, Hunter. We don't know what's hotter right now, the Brewers or the weather here in Wisconsin, because that's really what it comes down to. Again, as we mentioned, I believe they're 27-8 since April 26. What has led to this Brewers scorching stretch that they've had since really the beginning of May?
I think there's two main factors when it comes to why they've been hot. I think number one is the starting pitching they have gotten. It seems that whoever has been in that role has done well. They've been able to really make up for the losses of Brandon Woodruff over that time, Quinn Priester over that time. I mean, Brandon Woodruff, since April 26th, he's pitched one inning. And they have gone on that, you know, like you mentioned, that incredible stretch. And obviously they haven't had Priester this year. Now Logan Henderson's been out for a little more than a week. But they've been able to just whoever comes and toes the rubber for the Brewers seems to do well. So that's one, and obviously the greatness of Mizorowski and Harrison as well, which I'm sure we'll get to. But the second part of that is simply getting healthy offensively. May 4th is when Andrew Vaughn and Jackson Churio both were activated from the injured list. And since then, they are 19-6. And I think that is a really, it just makes so much sense, because when you have your full complement of lineup, like, they just didn't. And we had guys, and no disrespect to them, but it's a significant difference between a Jackson Churio and a Greg Jones, or, you know, an Andrew Vaughn and a guy like Blake Perkins who was getting every day at bats, or a guy like Luis Matos, right, where they had to throw these guys in who are really triple-A talents probably and not set, who knows, I mean, maybe one of them could have caught fire, but they didn't. But once those guys came back, it's been all systems go. Then Yelich comes back, he has the little back problem for a few days, but then he was back in that, you know, the finale of the Minnesota series and really hasn't looked back, comes up clutch again last night in the eighth inning. So it has been a combination of great pitching and getting healthy on the offensive side.
Hunter, you mentioned Mizorowski and Harrison. These two have just been on a tear. Mizorowski, we kind of expected a step, you know, to be taken forward, especially after the season he had last year. I did not expect this from Kyle Harrison. It seems like that the Caleb Durbin trade is now working out for this crew at this point in the season. What has possessed Kyle Harrison to perform the way that he has, including a phenomenal outing again last night?
Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, when they first made this deal, I mean, I kind of looked into Kyle Harrison's pedigree, and I'm kind of like, yeah, Kyle Harrison's the gem of the deal. If he can be what he has the potential to be, then this trade could really work out, meaning he could, you know, if I kind of said at the time, like, if he can be a two, you know, a really solid three or even a two in your rotation, I think you've won the trade. Well, he's as about as a solid as a two as you can have so far. And Shane Drouin has been fantastic as well, whether it's been starting or in the bullpen. And obviously Hamilton has provided a spark at times, and he has the most bunt singles in baseball. But Kyle Harrison specifically is, boy, it's when I talked to him, I did kind of a longer interview with him last week, and he really emphasized how much the Brewers emphasize the little things and doing the little things right, right? Like playing catch in between starts isn't just playing catch. It's, you know, purposeful catch and how you play catch and some of the posture things and the way he's on the rubber and all these little things he said that weren't really necessarily talked about as much in Boston or in San Francisco, the two places he had been before. And that is all leading to the great performances on start day. He's allowed just one run over his last four starts, his, you know, 23 innings of consecutive scoreless innings. Unfortunately, came to an end when Willie Adames hit a solo homer last night. But otherwise, one run over those four starts. His strikeouts are, like, you know, you saw last night, ties his career high with 12.
Yeah.
And that's, and his confidence, too. Like, I mean, he was asked last night after the game, like, what's the difference between you and San Francisco a year ago and now? And he was kind of like, I don't know, it's hard to say exactly. But, you know, when asked if his confidence is higher, he said, oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, when a guy is convicted and confident on the mound, boy, that's tough to be reckoned with. And right now, that's Kyle Harrison.
And we're talking here with Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter, as we currently stand coming into tonight, the Brewers are 37-21. They're 5.5 games ahead of the second-place team, who, by the way, right now is the Pittsburgh Pirates of all teams. The Cardinals have dropped off. The Chicago Cubs have dropped off. But I know that Brewers fans are probably looking for another postseason push. What's the latest you're hearing from the front office on potential moves as we start to head towards the trade deadline at the end of July?
Yeah, we're starting to kind of get into that season. In fact, 2 months from today is the trade deadline. It's a little later this year. August 3rd is the trade deadline this year. So we'll see what happens in the next 2 months. I think it's honestly, I there's not been a lot yet. I think it's quite a fascinating place that this team is at because they have, you know, one of the best farm systems in baseball. They obviously have the top prospect in baseball in Jesus Madej, and they also have guys like Andrew Fisher, who's got, you know, 16 homers in single A this year, in high A and with the Timber Rattlers, or, you know, obviously what the guys are doing in triple A when it comes to Cooper Pratt and Jet Williams. They obviously just paid Cooper Pratt, so I wouldn't see him going anywhere except to the major league level at some point. But they have the resources and some of the pitchers down in the minor leagues or even, you know, cusp of the major leagues to make a move if they want to. And I know MLB Network has been pushing this week for possibly a Tarek Skubal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That would take a lot, and I don't know. And obviously he's coming back from injury, so I would think the Brewers are going to proceed with caution there. That would be very much like a CC Sabathia kind of deal because you know
absolutely
you're not going to sign them. Yeah, and you're kind of pushing your chips to the middle of the table. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I think the next month will kind of bear that out. I think it's, you know, do you want to try to shore up the left side of the infield? Does that come from inside the organization with Jet Williams and Cooper Pratt from Nashville? Jet Williams is the infielder you got back in the Freddie Peralta deal from the Mets. Or do you want to try and go outside the organization? Is it a bat? Is it a relief arm? I know it'll be great to get Jared Koenig back, hopefully sooner rather than later. That adds to your bullpen, but do you need one more arm there? But another starter wouldn't be awful as well to go with the tandem of Mizorowski and Harrison and hopefully you get your guys back. So I think all options are on the table, and we'll see if the fascinating thing to me is the Brewers made it to the NLCS last year. They won 97 games. Like, they are one step away, and the clear, you know, team that they just have not been able to solve is the Dodgers. In order to beat the Dodgers, you kind of have to quiet that lineup. And obviously, you know, you have to hit against their pitchers, which is
right,
really good. But you add a guy like Skubal, that obviously you get three games of Mizorowski, Harrison, and Skubal, and gives you a great chance to win. So I wonder how they're thinking coming off of last year when you were the best team during the regular season, got within, you know, a series of the World Series. If that causes them to make a little more, make more of a splash at this year's deadline, we'll see.
And talking here with Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter, there are a couple of injuries that the Brewers are still waiting to get back. You mentioned Logan Henderson, who's on the IL, Jared Koenig as well, Brandon Woodruff, Brandon Lockridge, Quinn Priester as well, who seems like he's been on the injured list since the beginning of the year. Give us a couple of injury updates on those guys.
Sure. Let's start with Quinn Priester, who unfortunately had his rehab assignment moved from Nashville to Arizona. Now, there is a kind of there's an Arizona league that some of the young Brewers play in. And so they moved his rehab assignment from Nashville to Arizona, basically so they could have more control over how much he pitches and not really affect the rest of the Nashville Sounds roster when he does pitch. And maybe the plan is for him to go five innings and all of a sudden he only goes two. it just has been, you know, very, very rocky results-wise for Priester, and his pitch count has went up early. He's trying to get that feel back. He had a little bit of a better outing, I believe it was last night, but that'll still be a little while as he tries to work back and tries to avoid surgery with that injury as well. So he'll be in Arizona for, you know, I would say that they're going to give him at least, you know, 2-3 weeks down there and see where he's at. Brandon Woodruff, scheduled to make a live VP this week. That might even be today. And so I'm not exactly sure what the next step will be, although Pat Murphy said this week that he doesn't think the live VP is the last thing on the list before he comes back. Now, a live VP is basically facing live hitters on the field, basically. It's just more of a controlled environment. You're obviously not in the game. So would it be a rehab start? Would it be just another one of those before seeing how he bounces back? We'll see. I would think he's at least a week out on the Woodruff scenario. Jared Koenig has been pitching in Nashville, so that's good. Hopefully he's back, I would think, within the next week to 10 days. He's continuing his rehab assignment in Nashville, so that would be good as well. Brandon Lockridge, I would say late June is probably when he's starting to really progress well, and I would say about late June for the outfielder Brandon Lockridge to be back.
And the Brewers are in the midst of a four-game set with the San Francisco Giants. First pitch for Game 3 tonight is at 6:40. And Brewers rookie Coleman Crow is going to get the start here for the crew. Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin. Hunter, thank you very much for being a part of the Sports Queue throughout the rest of the school year. I'm sure that we could hit you up once August comes around.
Absolutely. Anytime. Really appreciate it. And, have a great summer.
Absolutely. Hunter Baumgart from Fox Sports Radio Wisconsin here on the Sports Queue on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
John J. Schuette Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuette Construction of Tomahawk.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 57. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, highs level off around 79. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, it's 77 degrees.
We have tasted a bit of warmer weather this early spring, so now is the time to think about your air conditioning systems because hot weather is right around the corner. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of air conditioners and furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner and offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with the furnace just right for your heating and cooling needs to be ready for a hot summer. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Keith Hansey, and a very not enthused Matt Tyler here with us.
Come on, well, Matt. It's the last one.
I'm sad because after tonight, we're retiring Mascot Madness forever.
Right.
Are
right.
we really? Yeah. Are you sure about that?
Yes. We've just decided.
Oh, why? I was not involved in this executive decision.
No, it was in our agents and the contract.
Yeah. Oh, it was, yeah, huh? Yeah. All right, so gentlemen, yes, this is the final Mascot Madness of the year.
Okay.
Of the year, we all will right. state. Of the year.
Forever.
Season.
Oh, Matt Tyler.
What an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. So the theme that we're going to be doing with today, gentlemen, so since this is the final Sports Queue of the season, We are going to be doing state champions from this past year. And before we do that, we have a call that we need to take.
Oh, boy.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Hang on a second. Make sure I can get this on. Welcome to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Who am I speaking with?
Jerry Kaminsky.
Oh, my goodness. What are you doing calling in here, Jerry?
Do we not have caller ID?
Jerry, what would you like to say?
Fellas, first of all, I would like to thank you very much for that wonderful recap of our Hatchet sports season this past year. It was fabulous.
Thank you.
Listen to all the things that that all of us have shared and lived throughout the year. I do have one question, though, and it's specifically geared towards my buddy Matt.
Here we go. What do you got, Jerry?
Matt, out of all of those wonderful highlights that we all of your listeners heard, 15 minutes or so ago, I would like to know, Matt, and I know the answer to this, what is your number one Hatchet sports highlight of all time?
Probably a little bias here, don't you think, Jerry? on what I'm going to say.
Doesn't matter. I want you and all of our listeners.
Yeah, Jerry, he's putting it on a tee for me, and I appreciate that very much, Jerry. But it was definitely when the Hatchet girls beat Prescott to go to the state championship, no question.
Yeah.
And they beat them in extra innings, and I was very fortunate that my daughter got the hit and Jerry's daughter scored the winning run.
Oh, yes. Wow. So, yeah, okay.
That would have to be my number one.
Geez, was that June 8th of 2018?
At approximately 12:30. No question, Jerry. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Courtney and Jordan are cousins actually too. So there's a connection there, and that's my number one without question. But I'm a little bit biased.
I would definitely think so. Jerry, thank you very much for the call. Genuinely appreciate it. Appreciate you tuning in throughout the course of the year.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, man. It put that up on a tee for you, didn't he?
He did.
Meanwhile, guys, speaking of which, we got playoff baseball taking place today, don't we? So, very quickly, so Mosinee, they are in Aquinas out in La Crosse today. Aquinas currently leading them 5-0 in the bottom of the sixth inning. So Mosinee's season is on the brink. And meanwhile, Rhinelander, they have Baldwin-Woodville, as a matter of fact. Baldwin-Woodville at home on the baseball diamond. So both Baldwin-Woodville baseball and softball teams are making it this far. Currently, it is
La Crosse Aquinas Blue Golds. That's one. We got
there,
one.
Yes.
We got one.
Baldwin-Woodville looks like they... Well, hold on a second here. That can't be right. Hold on. I'm going to have to do some more research. I'll have to check in a second here. So, gentlemen, we are doing state champions from this past school year. Now, most of these state champions are going to be in the divisions that Tomahawk was in for certain sports.
Okay.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Eagle River. Yes. We got this.
Yes.
Northland Pine.
It's now time for Mascot Madness.
Here we go. All right, so the first one we're going to be dealing with here. Matt, this one is going to be easy for you, I promise. Oostburg. Oostburg, girls basketball state champion in Division III this year. Who are they?
The Flying Dutchmen?
That is correct. They are the Flying Dutchmen.
I didn't know if they were the Dutch ladies.
No. Flying Dutchmen.
Flying Dutchmen. All right. Keith, we'll go to the D3 girls volleyball champions from this past year for you. All right. Manitowoc Lutheran.
Cool. Okay.
Manitowoc
the
Lutheran.
Flying Dutchman. No.
How ironic.
I was looking at Matt's answers. Busted me.
All right. The Knights, the Spartans, the Lancers, or the Lutherans?
Huh.
Yeah.
Anything jump out on you?
I always go alliterative.
Yes.
And I like that. Obviously, it's not the Lutherans, but I like the Lancers for some reason.
The Lancers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think...
What were the first two?
Knights and Spartans.
Lutheran. Manitowoc Lutheran. The Manitowoc Lutheran Lutherans?
No. No. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Lancers?
Lancers.
You guys are right. It's the Lancers.
Yeah.
Matt's just waving his head like, what in the world did I get myself into?
Matt, right. We really didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There you go. All right. So, we're going to go to the swimmers, if you will. The swimmers.
Okay.
All right. Oh, I already played that one. There we go. The Division I boys swimming champion, Middleton. Middleton. Red Raiders, Cardinals, Redbirds, or Red Men? Middleton.
I'm going to go with red. Something red.
Well, it's Red Raiders, Cardinals, Redbirds. You... Keith Hansey, I swear to God. All right, let's play that back. Hold on.
That was good.
All right. All right.
Middleton.
It was the dry delivery.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Yes.
Dry delivery.
All right.
Jeez.
Middleton.
Middleton, yes. The school has come up before. Most notably when we were in Madison for the state hockey tournament last year. You want a 50-50?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Cardinals and Redmen.
Boy, they both sound like it could work, too.
Well, the one I thought it was got eliminated. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Middleton Cardinals.
Middleton Cardinals?
And Middleton Redmen.
Redmen, yes. I think there is a school in Wisconsin that is the Redmen. That's not too far from here.
I guess their colors are red.
Red and white. Red. Matt Tyler.
Cracked. It was cracked, good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. That's crack detective work right there,
Thank
Matt.
You. Thanks. Thanks.
All right.
Have you been working overnights, Matt?
Yeah.
Cardinals or Redmen?
Cardinals.
I like Redmen, but...
All right.
Trust Keith Scott.
Go, Keith.
Yeah. Let's Cardinals. Go Cardinals.
All right.
Yep. Yep. The Fighting Cardinals.
You got it. The Cardinals. All right. Now on to the next one. I'm thinking, Matt, you need to study up more. That's what you need to do.
This will be easy, he said.
Oh, yeah.
This will be easy.
D2 team swimming champions. This is for both boys and girls this past year. Okay. Whitefish Bay. Whitefish Bay.
Whitefish Bay.
Yep.
Would have been easier if Rhinelander would have won again.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
Bluebirds. Blue Jays. Blue Dukes. Or Blue Raiders.
Blue Dukes.
Without hesitation, Mr. Matt Tyler. It's the Whitefish Bay Blue Dukes.
Yeah. You
guys are 4-for-4.
I'm glad you got that one. Because I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know why.
I clicked the wrong one again. Apparently, I'm looking forward to vacation, too. All right, here we go. Next one. We're going to go to the cross-country track. Division II girls cross-country winner. Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb. Madison area again.
Mm-hmm.
Packers, Bears, Lions, or Vikings?
They're the Vikings.
Yeah, because didn't we have this one?
Not recently. Said the Vikings?
Yeah.
All right, let's get it rolling. Here we go. Colors, by the way, are white and red, just so you know. And it's the Vikings.
Yeah.
It's the Vikings. Good job, guys. All right. You guys are doing really good so far. I hope you realize that. You're 5-for-5. I think Matt Tyler is about ready to have an aneurysm.
Nah, he's fine.
We're rolling now.
Yeah,
we're rolling.
All right. This is the... Jeez Louise, I am really looking forward to vacation now. All right. This is the Division II Team Boys Wrestling Championship. Evansville. Evansville.
I know what it is if it's a college team, but...
Yeah. Nope. Not the college team.
Not the Purple Aces. All right.
Nope. Their colors are blue and white. Here you go. Bluebirds. Blue Devils. Blue Jays. Blue Knights. Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
Go 50-50, please.
You got it?
Yeah. Good job.
Blue Devils and Blue Knights.
Oh. I liked Blue Devils right off the get-go. but I was hoping you wouldn't match it with that one.
Right.
You were thinking Blue Devils, right?
I was.
Okay. All right. Keith, what do you think?
Evansville, Blue Devils.
Is that what you're leaning towards?
And the other one was Blue Knights.
Yeah.
Yes.
Blue Knights doesn't sound familiar at all.
Blue Devils?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like 63.5% sure.
You should be 100% sure. You know why?
Nailed it.
Because you're right.
60% of the time it works every time.
Well done. Well done, good gentlemen. You guys are 6 for 6. Let's keep it rolling, all right? Now we're going to go to the boys' basketball court for Division III. Racine St. Catharines. Racine St. Catharines, home of Nick the Quick Van Exel. Crusaders, Spartans, Demons, or Angels?
What was the first one?
Crusaders.
Crusaders.
Well, they're not going to be... Go ahead, give them one more time.
Crusaders, Spartans, Demons, or Angels?
I'm pretty sure a Racine St. Catharines isn't going to be the demon.
No, no.
Let's eliminate that one.
All right, okay.
Wow. Let's go 50-50.
Yeah.
He'll leave that one in there.
Yeah, I know.
Which one? Which one?
Never mind.
The one we're thinking of.
The one you're thinking of? What are you thinking of?
Can't tell you.
No.
Demons and Angels.
Ah, nailed it.
All right, Keith.
Angels.
Angels?
Yep.
Was Angels what you were initially thinking?
I was
just hoping you were going to keep Demons in the 50-50.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, you dirty dog. You guys are still rolling. You guys are 7 for 7. All right, here we go. Next one. Going to go back to the cross-country tack. This is D2. This team's also a very good football powerhouse. Darlington. Cardinals. Redbirds. Panthers. Or Red Knights. Darlington. 262 kids in the school.
Darlington.
Colors?
Red and white.
Red and white.
Knew it. Mm-hmm.
We've already had Cardinals once.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And no two schools can ever share the same mascot, right?
That's what it should be.
Right.
That should be the case, yes.
I lean towards Redbirds for some reason.
Darlington Redbirds.
But I don't have a strong feeling for it.
What do you think, Alex?
What do you... It's not like I have the answer in front of you or anything, guys.
Right. Darlington Redbirds.
One more time, please.
Cardinals, Redbirds, Panthers, and Red Knights.
I don't like Panthers and Red Knights.
No.
What do you guys think?
It's Darlington Panthers.
Like that one, but
what do you guys think?
But it's the only one that's not red,
right? But they're red.
They are red.
They are red.
Yeah, exactly. Don't overthink this, Matt. What was your initial guess?
Redbirds.
What you thinking, Keith?
I think I'm gonna go with Matt on this.
Let's
go with the Redbirds.
All right. So if you look at Darlington's logo, they do have a bird in their logo. Okay, it is like a cardinal shaped bird. But they're actually the Darlington Redbirds. There you go.
Nice.
All right. For the final two that we've got.
Okay.
We're going to the football field for both of these, okay?
Football.
Here we go. Division 5 football champions from this past year. Mayville. Yes. Keith, Matt's got a great big smirk on his face.
All right.
You know this, don't you?
I think I do.
Okay. Here are your options. Cardinals.
Yep.
Blue Jays, Orioles, or Redbirds? You initially went yep with Cardinals. Is that what you still want to go with?
I like the Cardinals.
Mayville Cardinals. What do you think, Keith?
But Now I'm starting to second guess myself.
Because
okay, the colors will eliminate two if you want them.
Yes.
Maroon and white. So that eliminates two right off the bat.
Maroon and white?
Yes, maroon and white.
Okay.
Matt was so confident when he heard Cardinals come up.
So does the maroon help you?
Not really. You would think, wouldn't you?
Yes, exactly.
Right, right.
All right.
I've seen a maroon Cardinal before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to me try and talk my way into this one.
Yeah. All right.
What do you think?
One more time, all four of them, please.
Cardinals, Blue Jays, Orioles, and Redbirds.
Gonna go back to back Redbirds on us?
I don't know if I'd be that cruel. There are other schools in Wisconsin that have Redbirds as their name.
Yep.
Matt, at this point, I think you should trust your gut.
I like the Cardinals, yeah. I can go back and think of the two guys that I played basketball with, the Blair brothers from Mayville.
Yeah. Are they really?
Yep, they were really good.
Well, you know what? You were good not to overthink it. It's the Mayville Cardinals. All right. Are we ready for the last one, guys?
Yeah.
Here we go. So, again, we're going to stay on the football field for this one.
Okay.
Here's the last one. McDonnell Central Catholic. McDonnell Central Catholic. Eight-player football. 207 kids at this school. Bulldogs, Retrievers, Max, or Greyhounds? McDonnell Central Catholic.
Colors, please.
Blue and white.
I think we've had this one before, haven't we? Was this the Greyhound one?
No, that was Loyal. So, in case you're wondering, McDonnell Central Catholic is located north of Eau Claire.
North of Eau Claire.
Yep.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking, Keith.
Okay.
It may sound funny, but I'm thinking the Max. But I'm not 100% on that one.
Okay.
This is a complete guess at this point.
Right. But alliteration.
Oh, McDonnell, Max.
Yes.
What were the other ones, please?
Max, Bulldogs, Retrievers, and Greyhounds.
Let's do a 50-50.
Do it.
Yep.
Hey-o.
Hello.
I did that on purpose, by the way.
I know.
Bulldogs and Max.
That was the two I was hoping you weren't going to put together. Bulldogs.
Maybe their mascot is Mac the Bulldog.
Oh, so that's what you're thinking.
Both.
Huh?
Yes.
Both. We're right either
way. 2 points, Alex. We're going to take the Bulldog Max.
That Bulldog Max.
Oh, you guys are hilarious.
Man.
What was your initial thought, Matt? Your initial thought was Max?
Yeah, I think there is a Max. I think one school has that, but I'm not...
Not entirely sure.
That one?
No.
Keith, what's your thought?
I like Max, too, just because of the alliteration.
Is that what you guys are going to go with?
Yeah. Yeah. Mac it up.
I see what you did there. See what you did there. Guys, this is obviously the last sports cue.
It is.
That we have for the year. Last Mascot Madness for the year. For the year. And on the last Mascot Madness of the year, you guys went 10 for 10. There you go. The McDonald's Central Catholic Max.
Yep.
Hey, John Long, if you're listening, I can't say what I'm thinking right now.
Is it NSFW?
Yes.
You're tuned into the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We will wrap up our final show of the year after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about.
high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is Keith Hansey, broker associate with Northwoods Community Realty. Northwoods Community Realty is a company founded on community-focused values and premier real estate services to buyers and sellers in the entire Northwoods area. Whether you're looking for lake homes or city homes for sale, selling your property, or just want to know what your property is worth, give me a call at 966-1032. I have a deep knowledge of the area and understand our local real estate market. Give me a call, Keith Hansey, for all your real estate needs and questions at 966-1032 with Northwoods Community Realty.
What does it mean to be local on purpose? Crossbridge Community Bank is the only bank headquartered and led in Lincoln County. We make decisions about your mortgage and service our loans right here in Tomahawk and Merrill. That means less time waiting on some decisions from afar, answers when and how you need them. Building construction companies love working with Crossbridge because they don't have to wait on a construction draw from a complicated process. Being local just makes working with us easier. It's as simple as that. Crossbridge Community Bank, purpose first, FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. This is the last one of the year. And, of course, you know, something that I haven't noticed is that I have made a lot of mistakes in this show today. And I made another one. Rhinelander Baseball actually got upset in their first playoff game this past year. So they ended up losing to Bloomer. So Bloomer ended up playing Baldwin-Woodville. As for Mosey and Aquinas, Mosey just got shut out by Aquinas, just went final 8-0, which means only one Great Northern Conference team between baseball and softball remains. Do you know who that is?
Medford Red Raiders.
There you go. The Medford Red Raiders. They will be playing against number one seed and undefeated Baldwin-Woodville in the sectional final at Altoona tomorrow at 5 o'clock. You guys may want to go ahead, and if they're streaming the game, watch it. It is going to be top tier there. And then also coming up, we had Elise Gibo and Ellie Mickey on for the Sports Q as well. They'll be competing in the WIAA Division II State Track and Field Meet at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse on Friday. Both events will begin at 3:30. Gibo will be competing in the 200 and 400 meter dashes, and Ellie Mickey will be competing in the high jump. Gentlemen, the first Sports Q of next year, I've already got it on the calendar, August 12th. So 2 months.
Yeah, I suppose football starts a week after that.
Yeah. Wow. Might as well get things going, right?
Yeah.
Right? And we will be, by the way, I made this executive decision as well.
Oh.
We will be bringing back the Fairman Orthodontics kickoff cabin from last year.
Okay.
As well. So we'll continue to do the 45-minute pregame shows for football. Gentlemen, another year is officially in the books. What'd you guys think?
It goes so fast.
It flies by.
It really does.
Each season flies by.
Each season definitely flies by. The whole school year as a whole flies by. Let's be real about this. And I know that Keith is going to be stepped away from his role as volleyball coach. We'll still have him on every now and again.
Yep.
And I also have football predictions also lined up as well for next year as well. I'm going to see if I can get a couple of celebrity guest hosts on as well, see if we can get something going here. Mm-hmm. And then I know that Matt will probably be available. We'll have John available. Thank you very much also to Tony Derleth and Aaron Neiman that were able to fill in for me. Mike Richardson as well, who was able to fill in for me as well. And then, of course, I went through a lot this year.
Some changes?
You don't say. Yes. Yep. Sometimes when you have a little one, your life changes.
Yes.
When you have a little one, your life changes, as evidenced by you two.
Changes. That's an understatement.
Changes is a vast understatement. So I've had to deal with that over the last few months. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much, especially to Tim Albert that filled in for me for those couple of weeks.
And Amy filled in for me.
Yes, Amy filled in for me when I was down and out for the count. Thank you, everyone, honestly, for another great year. I had a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do this again next year.
And I'm sure you guys are like I am. It's really nice when you're out in the community and somebody comes up and says, hey, we listen to the show. It's funny.
Yes.
We enjoy it.
Yeah.
So those people that are listening, thank you very much.
As Matt Tyler
too many to name, probably. But,
yes.
But, you know, like Jerry calls it on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Jerry is definitely a historian for Tomahawk
sports. I believe his stuff. So. I believe it.
But also, you know, just what you do in the JJQ.
Yep.
Broadcasting all these sports to all these parents and friends and family that can't get there is huge. So.
And I would like to point this out as well, guys, really quickly here as we start to wrap things up. I know that to the naked eye, what people may think about the stuff that I do is cool, and it is. It's not easy. No. It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination to do this. No. And people think, oh, you get to do a job you love. Yeah, but it's hard. It gets hard, especially when you're preparing for a big game. It gets difficult.
Yeah.
It gets difficult. And the nerves definitely start to kick in.
Especially when I'm broadcasting. I nod a lot.
You nod.
I nod.
You nod a lot. Yes. Yeah. You nod a lot, period, Keith.
Sometimes he nods off.
Yeah. I know I'm that boring, Keith. All right. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning into the Sports Queue throughout the course of the year. We enjoyed it. Our first Sports Queue of the upcoming year will be August 12th. That'll be right before the first week of the high school football season. So we'll probably see if we get football coach Dewey Riley on. Tomahawk football with their first game coming up August 21st. That'll be our first broadcast. And hard to believe it, summer will be gone just like that. Matt Tyler, Keith Hansey, John Long, Aaron Neiman, Tony Derleth, Amy Mackey, Mike Richardson, Tim Albert, all of you that were able to come in and do the show with me here on the Sports Queue on WJJQ. Plus, thank you to all of our Hatchet student guests that were able to stop by. Have a sportacular summer, everyone. We'll see you in August.
Hey-ya!
Listening to the Sports Queue on WJJQ. Be sure to join in next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.